What is up, Southbrook families? Eric Fleming here, coming to you from our Southbrook studios here at 9095 Washington Church. I don't really know if I don't technically think we have any studios at all. It's just us in a closet somewhere talking to you. But here we are again, and with for the family. I'm excited to talk with you again this week. It is me by my lonesome. Steve is gone watching his son play baseball, which is cool. So I will be sharing with you today about kind of, again, what's going on in our student ministries. And if you're just joining us, again, I want to point you and drive you towards our For the Family Facebook page. Go there. You can catch up on past discussions, past resources. We put resources there. We might have discussions, threads there as well. But go like that page, follow that page. And we've been in this series in our student ministries, again, middle school and high school, talking on the exact same thing. And we've been talking about social media. The series is called No Filter. And it's the focus is like social media, but tech all around, because we understand middle school is not all there with social media. They're not actively there. I mean, if you didn't know this, most of those places, most of those apps is an age limit of 13. You got to be 13 to be there. So a lot of our middle school students aren't even there. And so we're trying to instill in them some foundations and boundaries to help them be aware of these things as they move up into that age where more of those apps will be accessible to them. But not only just in those apps, but even in our tech world, from gaming, from texting, all those things that we're trying to discuss with them and instill in them from a young age. And this past week, we continued in this series called No Filter. And it's interesting, you know, we use curriculum that kind of lays out things for us, and this week I wanted to change it up. And so this week we went at it from a sense of the idea of self-control. We know this, that, you know, technology is great. It's a blessing. And the things that we have in our hands and at our fingertips at this day and age to connect with one another. And just like anything else, anything good and can be bad when there's no sense of self-control. And so that's what we went with this past week. We talked about this in middle school, and one of the great verses we use is in Proverbs 25:28. And it says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. And again, it's coming from a standpoint of Solomon's words here of, in those days, you were only protected by the fortification of the walls around your city. And again, if that city has any corrupted walls, any cracks in the wall, holes in the walls, you know, enemies could infiltrate that city and take it from the inside out. Or, man, and he's going from the standpoint of you have no walls at all. They're completely broken down. And he's saying, you know, without self-control, you're like a city just standing there waiting to be taken, just waiting to be defeated. And so that's the kind of avenue we went with this past week in middle school. I talked about the importance of just self-control in their everyday life. And we focused on, again, from the tech side of things as well, of having an understanding of, man, I need to take control of these things, or these things will control me. And so we started having a discussion. I told him what makes it difficult is we live with human nature. And what this is if you had, for example, a piece of paper there, I drew like a figure, like a kid on a page. And I drew this up for our kids to see. And I split it right down the middle with a dotted line and said, for those, especially those who walk in Christ, that have claimed to be Christians and made Jesus the Lord of their life, we have these dual natures inside of us. That one of them is our spiritual nature, the other one is our human nature. And you see this picture a ton in the New Testament, especially from Paul. Paul talks about this constantly. And I just want you to get this picture. And I laid this out for them. I said, think of this, Paul. Paul talks about this in Romans 7. And this is Paul who is in the faith. This isn't Paul who is before Jesus. This is Paul firmly rooted in Jesus, who makes this statement, I do what I don't want to do, and what I don't want to do, I do. And why is this? And he makes this exclamation that, man, I'm like this wretched man. And he talks about there is another power within me that is at war with my mind, he says. I love that imagery of war. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And he's talking about this, again, this our human nature, our sinful nature versus our spiritual nature. And Paul uses the imagery of war. And we see this earlier where Solomon talks about a city with walls broken down. The imagery there too is war. That's, you know, if a city with no walls, your enemy is ready to take you. Paul's talking about in our minds, in our souls, we have these two things battling: human nature, which is our humanness. We live in this world with our culture, and the human nature craves the things that are just of this world, the desires of this world. And our spiritual side is to crave the things of heaven and eternity. And we talked about that for a little bit. That, man, for us, we have this humanness and culture around us that preys upon the cravings of our sinful side, to get back at people, to get even with people, to lash out, to crave selfishness, to do whatever it feels good to you, do what you want to do, and do it as much as you want. Like, you get this picture of this just out of control type of life. And Paul lists this out as well in Galatians 5. And again, we walked through these scriptures with our students this past week and kind of highlighting some things. And in Galatians 5, Paul lists out what kind of some of the traits of these two natures look like. He says in Galatians 5:19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And these are the traits, he says. It's like sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. And he says, and other sins like these. This is, you know, this list is clearly not exhaustive. There's many things that he didn't touch on there. And obviously we would say, hey, even today, like, obviously technology wasn't a thing for them back then, but the hearts were still the same of kind of living these out of control lives and living for the sinfulness, living for the humanness. And he goes on in the verse 22 to let everyone know what living in the Spirit produces, what this looks like, the fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And here it is, self-control. And so we focused on that because, man, when it comes to the things that we have in our lives, from our relationships, from school, from athletics, to technology, it's so easy for these things to get out of control in our lives. And so we laid out this picture, this drawing on a board, and I said, it's important for us to do everything we can, and Paul uses this term, to walk in the Spirit, to be surrounded with things that help us walk in the Spirit. And again, I love the imagery he uses, because walk in the Spirit, even back then, still, they didn't have transportation like we do, but walking was still the slowest mean to get anywhere. And I love he uses walk in the Spirit, that it's a slow, deliberate walk. And what he says, that even though it's slow, you're progressing. That even though you're walking slowly, there's an end point in mind. And it's a slow process. And so I was telling our students, I said, listen, it's slow, it's tough, it's hard, it's an everyday battle. And that I encourage them to look around their life right now and say, hey, what do my social circle look like? Does it help me walk in the Spirit, right? Does my tech life, my digital world, do I walk in the Spirit with whatever I'm doing there? And so we kind of stepped them through this and the importance of understanding, man, there's this dualism going on within us. We have these cravings. We have this human nature that is at war with our spirit. And it really preys upon like this sense of losing impulse control. Like, man, just give into whatever you can. And we know our students are going through changes physically, right? Neurologically, as hormones rage and our bodies grow and things change, that all of those things together makes for a dangerous formula. And so it's important for them to understand that. And when we talk about, and I think I've shared it on here before, that the mind for kids, like the thought processing seat of the brain, is half the size at this stage as their emotional seat. Impulse control, that region, the prefrontal cortex, isn't fully developed until mid-20s. So controlling impulses isn't really advantageous for our adolescents. And so talking about these things, being intentional with it is key. Even more so when we get into the tech talk of things, as we walk around with these smartphones and social media. And so I just kind of want to walk through some things to think about. And you say, like, how – and I read this in our book. One of the books we recommended was Navigating Our Digital World by Kara Powell, Art Bamford, and Brad Griffin. And this book is, like, from a Christian standpoint. I love it. Fuller Seminary out in California is a great seminary that – really well known, and they have an institute there called Fuller Youth Institute, where they do studies after studies on stuff not only like this, but things that are important to like our adolescents, to our kids, and ministry, and as parents. And they did a study on this, And they did what I love too is they brought in a lot of families to hear from them and their experiences. And so they had this study, they had these experiences from their parents, and they shared some things that, yeah, maybe that'll help our families, you parents, you families. Maybe some of these things will help you to kind of think. And I told our students to think of a way to be like digital Christians. And that sounds so like, I don't know if that sounds like cheesy, but really, like, how can we, as we walk in the Spirit, how can we walk in the Spirit in our digital lives? And they had some really cool questions in there to think about. What does it mean to be this digital Christian? Kids will likely tell you, if you ask this to your kids, they'll probably start to tell you some of the things they're not to do. Oh, don't use bad words or go to inappropriate websites. But the key is to push past what we don't do and what we get to do. Like, if we live like this, what are some things we can do? Think about this. What are the differences we can make with our digital platforms if we truly grasp walking in the Spirit, even there? Because a lot of times we separate this idea of our physical lives from our digital lives. Like this idea of what are our ethics in our physical life doesn't necessarily translate to the same ethics in our digital life. And so getting them to think some things. Like one question could be, how can we be peacemakers or peacekeepers on social media? My goodness, right? Like that, I don't even know if that exists, because we live in a day and age where, man, the rage of outrage, if somebody upsets us, we lose that idea again of impulse control and we lash out. And that's, again, that's walking in our sinful nature rather than walking in the Spirit. We can't wait to get back at them. And again, this goes hand in hand with the idea of when you sit behind a screen, you remove humanity from that person that you're ready to engage with. You don't see them face to face. They're not there. So it's like a removing of their humanness. It's just this digital transaction that happens. We don't know who they are. We don't see them. We don't think what we're about to say could hurt them. And also, it could also make us look bad as well. We don't think about that because we don't really, and I tell our students, we don't think the consequences that take place in a digital world really have any effect on us. I mean, think about that. There's story after story. In fact, Steve in high school had Emma Crockett share her story of just an awful experience with social media, of a picture that got out there. And this is hand in hand with these consequences that our kids don't realize that what we do in a digital world, it's like writing with ink. And Mark Zuckerberg said this in the Social Network, great movie on the beginning of the startups of Facebook, where he said it's like writing in ink rather than pencil. You can't erase it. It's there. And one of the things that our kids can be naive about, and I share this about the simple fact of a screenshot. They have no, like some of them don't know what that means. They can send a picture, they can send a text, they can send a message, and I screenshot that and I showed them, like, listen, this may be weeks, months, years ago, and I still have this. I can still use this against you. And so it's always there. And to be mindful of, no, the things you do in the digital world has just as much consequences and negative impacts as the things you do in the physical world. And to help them be mindful of this. But that's the big thing, is that we lose empathy when we sit behind a screen, scrolling through our feeds or text messages and ready to lash out at people. Things we would never say face-to-face to somebody. And so it's important to start talking about, hey, how can we be peacemakers on social media? What's that like, walking in the Spirit? Even with text messages, maybe, you know, here's another one. How can we use our online, maybe anonymity, to be a blessing to strangers? Almost like a superhero in disguise, rather than being like what they use in the digital world, a troll, someone who's looking to get out after people. Like, I just think it would be super cool if we had a bunch of accounts, anonymous accounts, where they were going out sending encouraging words left and right to people, looking for pictures and just posting positive thoughts. I just think that would be a great thing, because we don't have that. We have, you know, you can see all sorts of negative comments and things like that. Again, talking to your kids about how can we use our faith within this context. Another question, how can we affirm and build up friends and peers publicly or privately through text message? Like, again, the mindset of not thinking just of ourselves, but thinking of uplifting others. Even after church, if you and your kids come to Southbrook together, ask kids how they could share their takeaways on social media. I say that a lot of times when we're in Epic. I don't really fight this whole, hey, guys, put your phones away or whatever. In fact, I try to leverage it and use it. And I tell them, if there's something stood out to you? Make a note of it. I always tell them take a picture of the screens if that's something that stood out, and you'll see them get their phones out. It's really cool. And I said, you know, if you do use social media and this stuff hits home, man, share it with friends. It's a great way to have a discussion and leverage it in a better way than just some superficial means. And so we talked about that a lot this past week. We talked about authenticity in social media, because that doesn't exist either, right? Of being authentic there. There's so many funny accounts you can see of, like, you know, boyfriends setting up a scene for their girls to take a picture on the beach or whatever. It's just really funny. You can look this up. They're hilarious as they try to frame the perfect shot. And it's just this idea that there's no authenticity there. Everything's framed, everything's staged, and everything looks perfect. And so that's a struggle our kiddos have as they navigate through the digital world, because they see those things. And again, I've shared this many times, that the death by comparison comes in. That you see all these perfect faces and perfect experiences and perfect posts, and we start to think, well, my life's not so great. Why does my life look like that? Why does my life look as good as hers or his? Or I wish I could have more, and we never win. And I tell our students, we never win if we live by that. It's a death by comparison. The only thing you should compare yourself to is, one, yourself, and how you look, how you're doing now as opposed to how you were last year, whether that's spiritually in your walk. Maybe it's, I said that to, we do a player's box on Tuesday night, and I talk to students and their parents about, you know, athletics or academics or the arts, whatever it is they do. The only thing to compare yourself to compare yourself with is just yourself, no one else. Have you improved compared to where you were last year? Okay, maybe not. Okay, what do we need to work on? So it's very real, because in my day and age, when you left school, you were done comparing. That was it. You didn't have a phone in your hand to text constantly. You didn't have a feed to scroll through 24/7. And so there was never this separation now for our kids. They constantly are living by comparison with others now. And so to get a healthy understanding of, man, that's not how it is. Man, you know, we're to grow. We're to walk in the Spirit ourselves. It's not comparable to those next to us, but how we're doing individually. And so that's another great conversation to have. Another thing that really, that I took away from these resources this week, as I was reading as well, again, as I'm reading as a parent myself, and as I read some of these, and my hope is to share with you as well, that maybe these can help you. You know, we know this, I think sometimes we forget this, that our kids are watching us constantly. And we talk about these things that happen on social media, when in reality, what do your kids see from you in the digital world? That's really where they're going to learn these things first and foremost. The way you engage with outrage, the way you address others, the way you comment, how much time are you spending on your phone, how much time are you spending buried behind a screen? And again, that's what the kids are seeing. Right. And so I think we share this a lot, that we as parents and as families have to be mindful of what's the example we're getting across to our kids. Do we have good self-control? And I would argue, yeah, adults are blowing it, right? I mean, you can go on Facebook, which is generally the social media for adults, and you can see where I would say this is making up statistics, right? But maybe 60 to 70% of the comments and posts are very negative. Right? And so how do you handle outrage when you see it on social media? Do you lash out? Do you lose self-control and respond with the first thing you think of just to get back? Like, again, are you living out this walking in the Spirit social media? Because our kids are watching. They're watching. And as we start to put boundaries in place around our home, if we're not living those things out, our kids are going to be like, well, why are we going to follow it? Right? And so we talked about this last week. Try to find some boundaries to just remove phones. Maybe that's putting a basket in place somewhere where you guys have dinner or whatever it is you guys do, and say all those devices go there. We're just spending time together. I love the idea. I heard a friend of mine share that. And again, we're not trying to demonize tech. Like, find a way to use it as well. Like, here's a cool idea. I have a friend that does this, that he plays basketball with his kids, and what he'll do is he'll play a game of basketball outside, and then he'll come in and play, like, he'll jump on Xbox and play basketball with them. It's just, I think it's a really cool concept of, you know, hey, let's get outside because, you know, we're missing out on that. Our kids are missing out on being outside and the experiences there. Get outside, play and have fun. But here's another cool idea. Go inside and maybe play a game with them on Xbox. I know it's a different way to think of that. But it's, again, a finding ways to find a common ground, right? And I know we've talked a lot about the resource of Glow Kids, and it talks about all the dangers of video games and social media. And again, that's from an extreme side of things. Like, it's getting completely out of control where kids are on that 3 to 4 hours a day and to the extreme of 10 to 12, and things can be crazy. And I know for him and a lot of people, they try to push all of that off until 13. But he, you know, getting in there and using that sparingly is not a bad thing with your kids. I think it's fun to engage on their level. I think, man, having board game nights, doing things like that is great with your kids to, again, remove digital distraction and just focus on the moment of being there, having great discussions, talking to them about these things, and maybe bringing up your experience in this digital world, maybe bringing up your experience before the digital world, because a lot of us can actually speak to that, of the difference of those things as your kids are digital natives and we're digital immigrants, right? Well, this is something that has come into our lives at a time when we didn't have it. And so there's just really cool experiences to speak into that. But I would really say, man, this past week, we focused on this idea and this reality that in Christ, we have two spirits. Do you know this? Like, we have the spiritual world that we are to walk into, right? And then we still live with our human nature, our sinful nature. And that sinful nature pushes for selfishness and the lustful pleasures. And it pushes us to live out of control, to just achieve for the self, do what you want to do, and do it as much as possible. And the Spirit tells us to slow down, no, to be kind, to choose joy and peace and love, and to have self-control. So talk to your kids about this, maybe this week, about that passage. I love that passage again in Proverbs 25:28. Right? You could read that and talk about it and say, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. And you can paint that picture for them, what that looks like. I mean, if you don't have impulse control, if you don't have self-control, if you don't have healthy boundaries and guidance and the things that we're doing, and it's not just from a digital thing, it can be from in relationships, be in schooling, it can be with basketball, it can be with academic, you know, all these things that can be good things. But when we lose control of them and they become the thing by which we are identified and we're living out of control with those, that, man, it can be dangerous. And so finding ways to talk about that and have healthy boundaries in place are key. And so, again, some of the books we recommended last week, again, that's on our Facebook page, is Glow Kids by Nicholas Carderis, Navigating Our Digital World, and the TechWise Family. There's so many great books out there that you could jump into. And with these, that our goal, again, isn't to make paint tech in such an awful light. We just want to make you aware of some things that maybe you weren't before. And with these books, they may start off like sounding bad, but then they give you like great ways to put these boundaries in place in your families. They give great practical ways to do that. And so check those out. If you guys have any questions, again, feel free to message us on Facebook that we can talk about. But this week, yeah, our focus was the reality that we hope to walk in the Spirit, but we have this war going on with us, with the Spirit and human nature. And that around us, and that's the other thing I told our students, the other struggle is that they live in a world, they go to a school, their social circles, everything that they see push towards, for the most part, the human nature side of things. You know, everyone's doing this, everyone's saying this, everyone acts like this on social media, everyone talks like this, everyone wears this, everyone says, you know, and it's hard because, you know, spirit beings, we are walking and living in a world that is at war with us constantly. So I tell them it's an everyday battle. That's why in Ephesians, Paul says, put on the armor of God. You know, the armor of God in Ephesians, he lists that out. That's how we better wage war against human nature and sin. And so that's where we went this past week with our students. I think that's a great way for them to kind of understand why it's so hard for us. And not only that from the spiritual side, but even from the scientific side of things, the neuroscientific side of things, that, man, our brains are wired in a way that just, you know, wants to feed into that as well with emotions and a lack of impulse control. And it's hard for us to kind of gain control of things. And I just told him that if we don't, these things will ultimately control us. So check those resources out again. Talk to your kids. Maybe again, like I said, if you haven't done this, we talked about this last week, try to create patterns in your days to eliminate the digital distractions, where you guys can get face to face and you can have discussions, whether it's in the car, whether it's at home, around the dinner table, in the evening, just ways where that the digital side of things are not there, and it's just conversations. Whether it's just talking about this, maybe it's just reading some of the passages I shared with you, and just having, you know, just deeper conversation with the kids, where the phone is not this distraction, or where conversations end because someone's whipped the phone out. Try to put that down, get some eye contact and lean in and just talk about the day with your kiddos. We thank you for joining us this week. That's kind of what went on in student ministries. High school again had Emma Crockett share her story of just an awful experience with social media. She was in a documentary that was called, I believe it was Social Animals. And if you wanted to see it, I would, you know, Social Animals does, it has a bunch, it has, I don't know how many stories, but different stories of experiences with social media. And Emma's is the negative effect of that. Some of the other ones, they kind of build up and see the positive effects of how somebody came to stardom through it. But Emma's is really the fallout of a bad experience with social media. And so if you don't know, Emma Crockett is the daughter of Frank Crockett, who's on staff here at Southbrook. And very much, you know, she shared this past week with our high school students, and it was impactful. It spoke to them. And so if you wanted to check that out, I don't know if it's on Netflix right now, but just Google search Social Animals, and you'll see the various outlets that's available. But that could be helpful as well, hearing her story. So thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back here next week again from our Southbrook studios. And pray you have a great week, and hopefully have some good discussions just about, again, navigating this digital world, that it's not going away, and it's a part of our everyday life. And you know what? We don't have to demonize it. We can just find a better way to leverage it for living in Christ, right? Think of a way that we can walk in the Spirit in our digital world. Thanks, guys. All right, families, now we're going to transition to our Southbrook Kids segment. And again, if you're just joining us for the first time, and maybe you've tuned into this for the very first time, I'd encourage you again to check out our Facebook page for the family. Go there, like it, follow it, because again, we put resources there in the past couple of weeks. We put resources, books there for you guys to check out. One on our digital world that our students are talking about, and some other things there. So check that out. And to remind you that this segment for Southbrook Kids is K through 5th, because K through 2nd and 3rd through 5th talk on the same message in both rooms every weekend. And so we combine these to kind of just focus on just one segment during that time. And so I am pleased because we have, again, another volunteer that is here going to share about his experience. And, you know, just I want you guys to meet him because he's infectious, he's awesome, he's hilarious. My son absolutely loves this man, and it's Mr. Wilson. Maybe you've known him, you've seen him in the hallways. Man, it's great to have you here, brother. How you doing?
Eric, it's great to be here. I'm doing good. It's a beautiful day that the Lord has made, and absolutely, I'm just excited to be right here, right now.
Man, you're fantastic. If you guys don't know, my man, Mr. Wilson, I know he said this, I always call him Mr. Wilson. He's like, oh, that's the next door neighbor to Dennis the Menace.
Hello, Mr. Wilson.
That's right. And so I love it. He's always, you can find him in our 3rd through 5th room. How often would you say you're in that space?
Well, right now, at the present moment, about every other week.
Every other week.
I've done it a lot and for the last decade.
Yeah.
Teaching just blessed,
there.
But yeah, about every other week now. We got several hosts, so we're really blessed to have several great hosts hosting there in 3rd and 5th grade.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the other classes.
In the 3rd through 5th room, they've heard from Katie Parks.
Yes.
She's been in here. And they've heard from Eric McClan, who's in K-2.
Yes.
And so, you know, next week we're going to have Ray Watts on. So they
incredible.
Yeah, I'm hoping they get to hear from, man, not only the volunteers that are in those spaces, but those that are teaching, those that, again, these are, you guys are the backbone to the ministry, and you're the one that kids get to see every week, and they love it. Everyone's got a different voice, and so it's cool because, you know, 5:30 service, 9:30, 11:30 has got somebody different with the same story, and so it's really cool to have you know, so many leaders a part of that that just love pouring themselves out. And so let us get to know Wilson a little bit. Tell us about yourself, Wilson. So first, what do you do? Do you just hang around waiting to show up to Southbrook on a weekend?
That's pretty much it. And before I even get into myself, I have to say, the host, we get a lot of applause. That was part of the message last week. Yeah. But there's so many volunteers. And without the volunteers, it just wouldn't work well.
That's true.
Because everyone's got so many different gifts. But what do? I work at Miami Valley South.
Okay.
And I'm a nutrition ambassador.
Is that the name, really?
That's a fancy word.
That is super regal.
Well, I'm the guy that, they have gals too, but I'm the guy that brings your meal to your room.
Okay.
So I'm the popular guy. Everyone else is drawing blood and doing all this stuff. But, here's your meal.
You are no threat to them when you come in.
No, they love it. I come in there with a song and everything, and here's your food. And
that's fantastic. And I have to imagine, again, if you guys have never met Wilson, it's kind of hard if you haven't, if you're ever on a weekend in the halls, because, man, you bring so much joy and fun. You're always full of jokes, which is great. That's your side hustle, too. You do a little stand-up every now and then, right?
Yeah, myself and even Scott Fowler.
Scott Fowler, who's our security director here, right?
We've done open mic night at the Comedy Club, and it's been fun. That was fun. Of course, actually, in Southbrook Kids, I kind of feel like I'm the David Letterman of Southbrook Kids. My slant's always a little humorous with them, but the joy, hey, Eric, you know where the joy comes from. It just comes from God.
Absolutely.
That's the source of the joy, and I'm just very thankful.
And I feel like, and a praise to you with that, is that it seems like you know that, and you try to bring that out and others in every interaction you come. I can imagine being in a hotel room, hospital bed, that's nowhere at all the same thing.
Well, I tell people, a lot of times I'll come in the patient's room and say, you remember the Love Boat? And they'll go, yeah. And I go, well, it's not really anything like that, but we try.
So what I mean, if I'm in a hospital bed and here comes Mr. Wilson with my food, man, I can imagine you just brightening up everyone's day.
Well, thank you.
And so I just, it's just great to have you here with our kids. Again, I said it, my son loves when you he loves everyone. But it's always fun when I'm like, oh, who taught today? Oh, Mr. Wilson. I said, oh, that had to be fun. And he's smiling. He enjoys it. So that's really cool. So tell us about when did you come to Southbrook?
I came to Southbrook, first time I came to Southbrook was Easter of 1998. I was invited by Saul Gomez, but I wasn't quite a believer then.
Yeah.
But he invited me. The second time I came was Easter of 1999.
Yeah, okay.
Then I was a little bit more serious. Yeah, a little bit more serious. I was ready to take a step of faith to start searching. It was really cool. I met Charlie for the first time, and they were doing a little luncheon study, a little lunch study thing. And I was going to that, and I was just brand new. So it was the beginning, and it was Saul Gomez, actually. That was not to get long-winded, but he was a very excited guy. I couldn't stand him. I knew him for 10 years in the car business, but eventually there came this point when I said, I'd like to be happy like he is, and that's really what set the wheels in motion for me.
That's great. What a great story. Hopefully Saul can listen to this. Check it out. Okay, so you 98 and 99, we've shared this with the ones that have come on, our volunteers, of when was it that, we talk a lot about here, when did you put your life into play? When you wanted to give and volunteer,
I started doing some stuff at the very beginning, but when I really started to put my heart into play was probably about 10 years later, 2008. Mm-hmm. I went to the leader of Harvest Land, they called it back then, and I tried out to become one of the hosts or actors or whatever, and that's when I kind of really decided to go 110% into serving in Southbrook Kids.
That's great. And so, if that was 10 years ago, you've been doing it for 10 years, why on earth, Wilson?
That's a good question, because it's all them kids in there,
I share that. So why is it that, man, right now it's every other week. Why every other week do you get up, come to Southbrook Kids, and stand on a stage and share a story with third through fifth graders? Why is that something you enjoy doing?
I enjoy doing it, and I get to use the talent that I have. But the bottom line, again, I am just so thankful for God. Mm-hmm. We won't get long-winded about that, but God rescued me, like a lot of people, out of the darkness. And I really grew up in that generation of the 60s. I was a kid in the 60s, and a lot of my, I would run into people continually saying, boy, I didn't have the best church experience. It's a little repressive, a little legalistic. And now here we are at Southbrook, where it's just beyond definition how incredibly in tune they are with what's going on, to put it lightly. And it's just so wonderful to teach the kids. And the amazing thing is, Eric, how much I've learned. More than anything else, learned a lot.
That's cool. Yeah. That's great, brother. All right. And so now that we've gotten to know Mr. Wilson a little bit, all right, let's jump into our content. And families, Mr. Wilson here is going to share about what our kids learned this past week in Southbrook Kids. And so each week we've been in this series. They've been in a series. So if you don't know this, Southbrook Kids, there's generally a series that runs each month. And so the month of February has been focused on service. And so we've been talking about service for a few weeks now. This is the last week of that series, I believe, and they'll start a new one in March. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's right from doing it a few years back. What did the kids learn specific to service this past week? What was that bottom line that we got across to them, that we were hoping to get across?
The main point that we were presenting to the young people this week was serve others without looking for applause.
That's a big point right there. Right?
Well, and you know, just like myself, I got to confess, early in my walk, I really took hold, and God really gave me a particular verse he wanted me to take to heart because he knew what was going to happen in my future. Mm. And that was, think not too highly of yourself. He wanted to make sure that I wouldn't get up there and suddenly think, oh, it's all about Wilson, man. Yeah, look at me and that. So he wanted me to do that, which connects really much with the verse that was presented.
Yeah,
that verse was from Mark. The verse was from Mark 9:35. It said, anyone who wants to be the first must be the very last and the servant to all. And that's pretty deep.
Right.
I remember early in my walk going, what does that mean?
Right. And that's been their memory verse for the month, I believe, that
yes,
they've been focused on that.
Yeah.
Again, with the it's after the disciples are kind of arguing among themselves who's going to be the first in the kingdom, and Jesus comes back and asks them, "What have you guys been discussing?" Like, you know what I mean? Like prodding them to see if they'll reveal it, and then he goes into that. Like, essentially, you guys have no. Like we know with the disciples, they fail to grasp this constantly, right?
Right. All of us human too. Right? You know, even the kids. Right, I watch the kids out there, and I'm up there, and I'm kind of the host, and I'm telling jokes and everything. But the kids, they'll throw in, but they also want to be like they're all looking for, here I am.
Right. Absolutely.
We all want that. We all want that. But it's so great. The thing I keep, like all the other hosts, we're always doing with the information and the scripts given to us by the leadership.
Yeah.
Is to just get this generation knowing and believing and trusting and all that God's going to do, and to let them know. I'm always trying to tell them, hey, you're the future. You're the ones that are going to lead people to Christ. You're the ones going to make a difference in the world. It's just wonderful. Southbrook Kids is a wonderful place for young people to be. It's going to make a difference in the future.
For sure, absolutely. And I know this concept's really hard. I know we were talking about it. In fact, I know you were sharing earlier the Bible story for this past week is in Matthew 6, right?
Wasn't that Matthew 6, 1-4, I think it was.
Yeah, that's 1-4. Yes, it was teaching about giving to the needy. And I love this because this too is countercultural. And if you know, Jesus is talking to the crowd there and, you know, talking with his disciples as well. And he says, watch out. This is that verse. This is a great verse to
look
read.
Look out.
Right. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly, he says, to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, I love this, don't do as the hypocrites do. I love this. Blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all of the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, here's that famous one, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you.
That's awesome. And that's hard. That's really hard because we all want to go, hey, I just gave to St. Jude, or I did this, or I did that. You know, I'm out there helping feed those people.
Right.
And we have to ask ourselves, why are we saying that?
What's that motivation? Right?
Yeah,
it is. And it's a hard thing because I know I've got friends on the other side that don't believe in Jesus, right?
Yes,
and we have
lots of them.
This becomes a discussion of, hey, you know, I don't believe in Jesus, but I'm a humanitarian. I'm like, dude, that's great.
Why do you do that for?
But the motivation's different, right? Yeah. So, like, there's a little bit of that applause on the back. Like,
yeah.
And what, Eric, why do you do it? I do it for Jesus. Like, yeah. He's given, he served, he's come to me, and I want to do for him and be a kind of help, be influential in the kingdom and give only because he's given, right?
And just one other important thing to me personally, it's always in the back of my mind, was there was a guy that witnessed to me. There was a guy that made me want to have what he had, and what he had was Jesus. Mm-hmm. What he had was the love of Jesus and the joy of all that. And always stressing to these young people that they're going to be that person for somebody in the future.
It's true. That's great. And I share, it's
talk about serving others.
Right. And one of my favorites is I've shared this last week, I believe, on the podcast of, again, Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, which embodies service.
Beautiful.
Because it embodies service because it's messy, mm-hmm. right? He's yeah. doing something not only no one would expect it, right? Peter's like, you can't do this.
That's service work.
But not only is he serving, he's doing a super, it's messy. Those feet yeah. would have been nasty. So ooh. I think what I love about that image is, man, it's messy. And so if you're looking for the applause, there's a lot of times you're not going to get it. And one of my favorite stories that came out, I was leading a high school trip at a former church in Louisville. And we took our upperclassmen. So it was juniors and seniors. Yeah. About 20 of them to Jamaica.
Okay.
Very
ooh,
impoverished.
Jamaica.
Yeah. Third world country for sure. I know everybody knows it from the, you know, the inclusive resorts. But when you get outside of
yeah,
place,
reality,
it's rough. And so we went down there to ACE, and we were serving there as an organization down there. And I remember one of the things we would do is we go down there. It's interesting. Like, you have this, it's, I don't know if you would even call it an elderly home. But like it was an infirmary,
yeah,
with also elderly just that have been dropped there. And what we do is we go and spend time with them. Like for me, I was playing dominoes with the guys. It was awesome. I love that.
Just bringing and love right, and joy.
Yeah,
into
we'd come in there and every day you do something different. And
awesome.
So I had one of my students, and I won't share his name because he might not love that, but he listens to these. But he's one of my, I love this kid, love him to this day. He's got a heart for ministry and he's going to be doing that. And has a heart for people, and it blew me away as he walked around. Like, he walked around to those bedridden.
Yeah.
Would go to each bed and just pray with them, talk with them. I loved it. But here's where it was messy, and this is really funny, okay? So he goes to this one lady, and as he walks up, he says hello to her, and she kind of looks him up and down.
Yeah.
And at this time, he was an overweight kid.
Okay.
And first phrase out of her mouth is, "You're fat."
Oh,
first phrase. I know
yeah.
it's like,
whoa.
And we share this because we lost it because I didn't know yeah. this was happening. He mm-hmm. brought it to me after dying laughing because he goes, and again, this is the epitome of service isn't always
pretty
a pat on the back, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
She goes, "You're fat." He goes, "Well," and he said, "Well, yeah, I have a weight issue. I understand." And she goes, and then she just keeps pressing. Mm-hmm. "Have you ever had a girlfriend?" He goes, yeah." And then she said, "Was she sick?" Like, like she's like putting him on blast
yeah,
as he goes around.
Wow.
To pray. So it was an immediate illustration, right?
Yeah.
Because he's going around praying with them. He still stayed with her. They, you know, they talked. They got past that. And that literally that night with our group, we shared this concept of if you're out to serve for the pat on the back, it's the wrong motive. And
yeah.
a lot of times you're probably not going to get it.
No.
But all that matters is that you're doing that for the kingdom and you're doing that for Christ. And that was the discussion. It's like, listen, how messy this is. You're going around praying. You're going around serving, trying to do these things. And you got accosted for trying to do, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so we're cracking up. But I mean, when you're doing it, if the motivation is for Christ, who cares?
And
right?
He gives us, you know.
Who cares what happens?
The wonderful thing about Jesus, even on a one-on-one opportunity with somebody, I don't always know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to say the right thing. I'm going to stumble.
Right.
I'm going to ramble.
That holds a lot of people up.
But
yeah.
when I can turn around and say, hey, this is what God would say.
Right.
This is what God shared with me.
Right.
This is what God thinks. Well, if I could think what God thinks, I say that. It's hard to put those into words. But
right,
my point is,
yeah.
like you said, and you have to do it out of love. Love is it. It's all about
that's
love.
That's it, right.
That's love. Wow.
Right.
I spend the rest of my life trying to love people.
Right. And very hard to do. You know?
Yeah, it's hard to do, but it's what we're called to
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. When it's called that unconditional love, that you know, it's void of condition. I'm just loving because he first loved us.
Right? And it's great what you're doing with the kids. It's great what we're doing with the kids. These kids are the future generation. And sometimes we look out the window and we think, this world is getting really weird and tough.
Right. It's getting dim.
And we're going to need an incredible army of young men and women who have been brought up in the ways of the Lord.
Right.
I use that because that's the best word for it.
Right. And just, you know, letting them know. That's one of our biggest takeaways from each weekend is letting them know how much they're valued, how much they're loved, and how much they're known. That, you know, once you realize that, and parents, as you're listening, you know, sometimes it's hard maybe to figure out how to talk about these things with your kids for your kindergartner through fifth as we talk about service. But really, you know, it's really living this out. And from a parent perspective, like, how do you view others? How do you treat others? Does it flow from you where, man, it's unconditional love. I just love those. I'm willing to serve those, that whoever I come in contact with each day, that I'm not looking for the applause. I'm essentially a vessel that
we're here.
That
we're the feet and hands of,
right,
of God. And one of the greatest things that I got the pleasure of presenting each week as a host in K1, and all the hosts did, was the three basic truths.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The three basic truths. So, I mean, one, you got to treat other people the way you want to be treated. You need to treat others the way you want to be treated. That's secondly, to make the wise choice.
Yep.
And that moment, whenever that moment may be or whatever, you know, don't trade what you want most for what you want right now. And I always told him when we talked about making the wise choice, hey, my mom, my dad, my grandmother, my grandfather, they're pretty wise. Just call them on the phone. You got a cell phone. Call them up. Hey, I'm getting ready to do something. What would be the wise thing to do?
Right, for sure.
And then the greatest of all, the third basic truth, you could trust God no matter what.
Right.
And that became something that really became a blessing to me. It answered a lot of questions.
That's great.
I could trust God no matter what.
And if you have parents, you don't know this, families, you don't know this, that's what he says, the three basic truths. Those are the three truths that in those areas, and especially in K2, they go over that every week.
Yes.
Every week, that's a part of the intro to the discussion. They'll do offering. They'll do maybe some announcements, and then they hit the three basic truths where they'll get kids to say them out loud or individually, but those are constant reminders every week of the three things that really we want to drive home the most, and so those are great. And so if you wanted to talk kind of with your kids about this, I mean, it really is the idea that everything we do is for Christ. That's all we do. Like, it's not about the applause, because if it's for the applause, you're going to be let down constantly. Like that example of our service time in Jamaica. If you're doing it for the applause, there's going to be times where you might get that applause.
Yeah.
But hopefully you're saying, oh man, it does feel good, but let's point that to heaven, right? Let's point that to Jesus, right? That's why we do this.
And serving is a great way to just reach that level. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how to put in words, but for me personally, I know serving has helped me to become more humble.
Right.
I just appreciate the opportunity to serve.
Yeah.
Thankful that God gave me an opportunity to serve, and just really realizing that this audience, even though I look at these kids sometimes, I think, who brought these people into the world? But you know what? They're loved. Those kids are loved. They're loved by their parents, despite everything they, you know, might do at home or run around the house and destroy everything. But the bottom line, they're loved, and God loves them.
Yeah.
God loves them. And that's the thing we tell them every week, God loves you.
That's the most important. And so, parents, that was the focus this past week of serving, not looking for the applause. So serving out of the abundance of which God has served and given to us is the reason why we serve, because he first served us. The same reason why we love, forgive, have grace, all these things is because he did all of that first. And once we are kind of aware of that reality, it's just a second nature for us to live out of that reality. And so talk with your kids about this week. Maybe it is, you know, sitting down and, I mean, a lot of what we do is repetition, really.
I hope that they would do that. Yeah. Not that I hope that parents would do that one and say, hey, what did you do in South Park?
And they do. A lot of them do. And that's one of the reasons we do this, because, hey, come on. You know, kids. My kids can't remember what they did 10 minutes ago, right? They'll come out and say, oh, I don't remember. And so really it is. It's about this idea of, man, reminding them, we do this podcast to help them understand what we talked about. So maybe, like I said, the story was Matthew 6, 1 through 4. A great thing you can do is read Matthew 6, 1 through 4
right.
with your kiddos this week.
I love Talk to bring my that. Bible yeah. out. And, you know, that's not always necessary, but we have Bibles back that we can use. And yep. it's nice to just put yep. your hands on one,
yep.
hold it up, show it to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make that, them comfortable yeah. with it. Know that all this truth.
Are kind of dying off a little bit, aren't they?
Yes, so they are. Nice here's that. My phone.
Right, yeah. right.
I got the Bible app.
That's right, right? And it is a great thing to have.
I love the nice Bible app. I mean, now I can just Google, Lord, can you tell me what to do?
Google, I like. Give me up. Google, I like that. So Ferrets, yeah, this past week, again, they continued in service. They wrapped up talking about, hey, we do it not for the applause, but for heaven, for Jesus, for
yes.
God. And so talk about that. Maybe read Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Go over Mark 9, 35, which was their memory verse and the motivation behind what Jesus is saying. Hey, just you do it for your Father in heaven. That is it. That is all we live by. That's what he did that for, really. And so, yeah, those are some great discussions there. We thank you for tuning in. Hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully you'll find some time to carve out, to sit down with your kiddos and maybe read those things or discuss these things with them. And we love you guys. You're doing awesome. Thank you for bringing your kids to SB Kids. We thank Mr. Wilson for coming in. And again, you'll probably see him. Will you be around this week, next week?
I will. I get to host Saturday night. Yeah, I'm very excited. 5:30 Saturday night. That's a good crowd. I love it.
Yep. Come in and say hi to Mr. Wilson. We thank you guys. And we'll see you next week on For the Family.